Okay, we're ready. How are you? Life's good?
Life's great. Yeah. Sorry, I just...
No, that's fine. Want you to relax, whatever you want to do.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get going, Mike.
We are going. We're starting. So let's jump. I want to jump into, I'm intrigued with this hiking that you do.
Uh-huh.
And for me, to be really honest with you, when I think about hiking, I think about some 50-something-year-old woman with long gray hair, a big floppy hat on, the baggy tan shorts, and a stick made out of some tree that she found laying around. So, and that's the idea that I have of hiking.
And you do see those type of people out there.
But when I see pictures of you or little videos, you've taken hiking to a point of athleticism.
Right.
To where you look athletic, and those that are with you all look the same. They're the same, you know, type of person, and it just looks more of sport than it does leisure.
Yes, yes. So hiking, you know, depending on, you know, your endurance level, it can be whether you're doing a trail or a major hike. I started hiking this year. Well, let's go back. I actually started hiking back in my early 20s. And when I started hiking in my 20s, it was more so doing little small trails, not necessarily, you know, major hikes that I've been doing, you know, this year. So prior to hiking, I was actually into bodybuilding. So I did fitness competitions. Maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. So I took my, you know, my endurance level to the next level to do hiking, and it's all different, you know. So fitness competitions is so different from hiking. And I thought by bringing in that, you know, that more, that physique into hiking, I guess that's where you can see the difference in my, you know, my fitness along with my partner's hiking.
Yeah, it seems like it's not just your look with the fitness. Mm-hmm. It's also how you dress out for it.
It's funny that you say that, because there are people that actually comment on my attire, mm-hmm. you know, because like you said, there are people that go out there and they have cargo pants and, you know, t-shirts, and I like to wear certain different clothing that makes me feel comfortable. And by being comfortable, it's by wearing something cute. I guess that's the girly thing in me. I just like to get up. And that's what gives me the motivation, is finding like the perfect outfit to get up and get out there. Because you feel good about yourself, you know, looking at yourself in a specific type of fitness wear. So I always lay out my clothing before I go hiking. Really,
as a guy, when I'm looking at it and I'm seeing what you're wearing, how you're doing it, to me, I mean obviously not looking at the color combo,
right.
or, you know, if it's a matching set or whatever that it is, I'm looking at it, it looks so practical.
Right.
I mean, it looks like you're there for business. It looks like, you know, you're out there, you're on this mountain, you're on this trail, you're there for a purpose. It's not just a leisure, let's go look at the butterflies that are, you know, hanging
No,
around.
Actually, every hike is planned out. You know, there's a lot of research that goes on with it. It's not something I just wake up and say, hey, I'm going to hike Iron Mountain, or I'm going to hike, you know, Baldy. And these are all major, big hikes. These are not just trails. These are hikes that you need to plan out for.
When you say plan, what do you,
where there's
how,
a,
how do you do it?
So, there's a lot of research that goes with it, weather conditions, you know, how many miles it's going to be, how much water I need to take, you know, what GPS devices do I need? I need to let people know, like, you know, where I'm going to be. Sometimes I hike by myself, but for the majority of time, I hike with my girlfriend who's here. Her name's Jackie. Say hi, Jax.
Hey, Jack, you can jump in anytime.
Hello there.
So she can chime in too. You know, we actually, there's a lot of planning that goes on with it, and she's part of the planning. She is like my go-to because I, for the most part, you know, I do work. I have a very, how do I say, a very intense job where it's, I need to focus on my job. But she is my go-to person where she can actually plan out most of our hikes, whether it be the weather condition, whether it be how many miles, what time do we need to meet up, you know, because weather changes all the time. So she'll tell me either the day before, hey, it doesn't look great, so let's, why don't we do another hike? So these are a lot of things that people need to, you know, consider prior to hiking.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And we always make certain to have a plan B. So although we may want to hike Baldy on a certain day, and like CSI Barbie said, we, you know, constantly are keeping up with the weather conditions and any other factors that may, you know, fall into place. And if that changes, then we have our backup. And it's just always great to be prepared in advance. You know, some people see a lot of, you know, hiking adventures and people's posts on Instagram, and they think, oh, I want to do that. I want to look like them, or I want to climb the highest mountain. But they don't understand, like, you know, the background, everything that goes into it. Like, you really have to be smart and wise and prepare and be conscious of, you know, what your endurance level is, like what, you know, Denise, CSI Barbie, was touching on earlier. Not everyone can, you know, just get up and do a particular hike. You really need to prepare for it.
Right. And so it's, how long have you been doing it? And did you start doing it at about the same time? Or was one more fit at the very beginning than the other?
So, like I said, I used to hike back in my 20s, and then going into my early 30s, I did a couple of hikes. I didn't start getting into it until this year. So last year I had COVID. After I got COVID, I gained about 20, 30 pounds. I'm not sure if that was related. But that to me, I think had a really, that changed my event. You know, I needed to do something. I wasn't feeling good about myself. And the only thing that I wanted to do was get outside and, you know, do some trails and be out there and do something physical, because during the time when I did have COVID, I could probably barely even walk a mile. And that's what freaked me out. A mile from being in fitness competitions to just walking a mile was a huge turning point for me in my life. So starting at the end of December in 2020 is when Jax and I decided to take on this 52 hike challenge. And, you know, first we did a trail. You know, we're like, oh, let's just do like a three mile trail and go hiking just to be outdoors. And then we decided to do this 52 hike challenge, and it just went from there. Starting in January, we started with small little trails, and now we're hiking, you know, now to us, 10 miles is like, that's like a walk in the park. So,
or in the mountains.
Yeah, or the mountains. Right, Jack?
So true. So very true. You know, it's funny because we both, listening and hearing this, thinking back, it was actually New Year's.
Right.
We discovered the 52 hike challenge prior.
Explain that.
So the 52 hike challenge. Wow. I mean, it's one of the best investments you can do for yourself. Mm-hmm. First off, it's free. Okay. Being outdoors hiking is free.
So is the 52 basically, is that a hike a week? Is that how that developed? Is it something that you two developed, or something that you found?
It's an actual organization. They're called the 52 Hike Challenge. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, you know, 52 weeks in the year, you hike once a week. And as long as it's 1 mile or more, then it counts towards your 52 hikes. And you obviously, if you want to do two hikes in 1 week, you can, you know, cater it to how it works for you and your schedule. But the idea is that you try to invest your time in doing one hike a week. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing. But, you know, commenting on how we came about, because we had discovered just following people on Instagram that we were inspired by, and we learned about the 52 hike challenge, and we're like, wow, this is really cool. This is interesting. And we were checking out the website. And so on New Year's, you know, after a couple of Proseccos, we're like, we're like, you know what? We love being outdoors. And we were both in a position where we physically were not comfortable with ourselves. And we needed to do something to bring ourselves back to life, to bring ourselves back to that fitness level, you know, just be, you know, back in a place where we're mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy again. And I'm telling you, nature does that. I always say nature is the best medicine for you, for all those three, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's what, you know, we started talking about, and we started seeing how we would feel just being outdoors for that 1 or 2 miles. And it was New Year's when we were, you know, having a little Prosecco, having fun, and we challenged each other. We're like, should we do that 52 hike challenge? Yeah, should we do it? Yeah, let's do it. You know, we got really excited about it. And we're like, let's do it. And so it was right after New Year's, and it was like literally, what?
A week, or a couple days after.
Yeah, just a day. Yeah, just a couple days after. And we were both online. We're on the phone together and laughing. And we were online and trying, you know, to, you know, register for it and all that. And we did. We confirmed that we did, and we started. And I mean, it just took off from there. It was, we were so dedicated. It gave us something to focus on or refocus on, because we were in a slump, honestly.
Well, we were locked down.
You know,
everybody was locked down. Nobody
it was just,
anything. We all lost it.
Exactly. Yeah. With COVID, you know, in place, being outdoors was the one thing that allowed us that freedom.
Right.
And so we started doing it. And Denise, it's so funny because, yeah, we started with like 2-3 miles, and our planning was so fun because we were in constant communication with, you know, different hikes. We had our lists of hikes that we wanted to try, and, you know, looking on Instagram at other hikers, avid hikers. I mean, there's a few that we were both inspired by that we would.
So when you got started doing it, your fitness level wasn't at its peak at that point in time. So you started with a very low fitness level. And did you do, what was your training? Did you do anything else to augment just hiking, or was hiking the thing that brought your fitness back?
So, like I said, I got COVID, and, you know, even walking a mile, I was out of breath. So I decided, hey, I just need to go back into the gym and do what I do and what I know best. And, I started little by little going on the Peloton, 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes turn into about 30 minutes a day, and then 30 minutes turn into about an hour. You know, Peloton is great for some, but like I said, I've been in, you know, bodybuilding for a really long time. I wanted to get into weightlifting, back into what I'm comfortable doing, and that's lifting weights. Aside from lifting weights, I do run a lot. So usually I run about maybe 3 to 5 miles either every other day. And then on the weekends, I'll throw in a hiking. But, you know, if you're asking what other fitness levels I do, it's the weightlifting and the running.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now to maintain your fitness. So while hiking is definitely part of your program fitness, do you feel as though that the hiking is for fitness, or are you taking care of your fitness so you can go hiking?
Good question. So, you know, actually hiking, it is far, because I've done both. I've done the weightlifting and I've done the cardio. Hiking works out your entire physique because it's such a different endurance level, because you're having to go, you know, an incline and then back down the mountain. There's so many different levels of terrain that you have to go. And I find that I think I felt better with my physique after hiking as opposed to running and lifting weights. It's a huge difference. And by seeing that difference, I've lost about 25 pounds. So that was within the matter of within the last year. That was during hike. That was
amazing.
I've seen that
progress.
Yeah, that's a huge drop.
Right.
I don't know that people listening realize how difficult it is drop 25 pounds in 1 year.
And we were actually talking about this endurance level, because there, you know, I used to run too. I've always been athletic, or, you know, into fitness. I was a runner, you know, in high school, And then going into my early 20s, I continued running, never really lifted weights. It was until my 30s I started weight training. Once I got into weight training, you know, I did my fitness competitions, which is a whole nother topic. Yeah. But once I got into hiking is when I realized, wow, this is so much more intense, I feel. Me personally, and Jax and I were just talking about this, because there are runners who are like, oh, I can hike that mountain. You know, I'm a runner. I was like, no, you got to understand. I was a runner too. But there are some mountains that, you know, even handling like Iron Mountain, for instance, that's one of the hardest mountains to climb. And even that, being as a runner, the first time hiking that was very intense.
And Jax, it's because, you know, a lot of people don't take and factor in the elevation gain. Exactly. I mean, you can be the best runner and have been running forever, but you get up on a mountain and you're hit with that altitude, that elevation gain. I mean, that's a game changer.
Absolutely. Well, it's not even just that, though, but you have the different degrees of steepness.
Yes.
You know, and absolutely. It goes amazingly steep. It levels off a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's not completely level. And then you've got the terrain, and you've got rocks, and you've got ruts, and you've got, you know, bushes and
weather. Weather comes into play. Sure. I mean, you know, there's like, and I always go back to Iron Mountain because that's probably one of my training mm-hmm. mountains that I go to. You know, you're going up a very, very steep mountain. And then you got to think, oh, I still have to come back down. And some people think like, oh, it's so much easier to come back down. No, it is not, because your knees are, you know.
You're breaking.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean breaking bones. I mean, you're putting the brakes
you're
on.
You're putting the brakes on your knees, and it's a lot. You got to use your core. You got to use all of your body, everything, your upper body. Well,
that was another thing I was going to say, too, mm-hmm. because when you're doing that type of activity, you're using all your muscles, and when you use a muscle, you're going to also use an opposing muscle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a positive and a negative, you know, and so it's balance.
Right.
And trying to hold on to that balance right. and coming down something steep, and then it's kind of rocky, kind of pebbly, and you don't have your sure footing, and there's got to be a lot of
falling.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, this particular topic hits home to me because, yes. you know, when CSI Barbie and I in the beginning, you know, it was like we kept increasing week after week because we just, our adrenaline, our excitement, it was 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. And then, you know, we finally set a goal, a target, and we were like, we want to hike Baldy. We want to do Baldy. Okay, what are we going to do to get there? So we started doing all these trails, all these, you know, mountains, and finally, you know, we did Baldy. And then we thought, okay, we're ready for Rattlesnake Peak or Big Iron Mountain. And Rattlesnake Peak was really great training for Big Iron, but Big Iron, and going back to the topic of, you know, your knees and injuries and things that can possibly happen, mm-hmm. that was the one mountain that got me. Yeah. I wasn't smart about my training beforehand, and I learned a big lesson. And I sustained some injuries, and CSI Barbie was with me, and it was really hard. I was out for 8 weeks. I didn't think that I was going to be back to hiking peaks, let alone hiking 5 miles again.
Well, that's one of the biggest drawbacks in trying to maintain fitness and working out, no matter what it is that we do. I've been in gyms for over 50 years.
Wow, you look great.
You know,
you look great. I agree.
And that's what people will say. You know, at 68 years old, how do you stay fit? How do you look?
Right.
And my common answer, everybody, is I never quit.
Exactly.
I never gave up. I never gave in.
Exactly.
But also, too, I've never had any debilitating injuries. I've never torn a muscle.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. But it also, it's being smart about the training.
Yes.
It's like what you guys are talking about. And if you want to continue on doing what you're doing, it's like my wife, you both met Jill, mm-hmm. and she's a marathon runner. And so it's nothing for her to go out and run 8 miles, 10 miles and come back. But over the years, you know, I have trained her to be smarter about the runs, because you can't go do 8 and 10. When we first met, that's what she'd go do, 8 and 10, mm-hmm. day after day after day after
wow.
day.
Wow,
and
that's intense.
Yeah, and sooner or later, as she was getting older, she was starting to have knee problems, and she was starting to have right. hip problems and lower back problems, and it was had nothing at all to do with the shoes or orthotics, or it had to do with overuse.
And exactly,
you get to a certain yes. point at a certain age. To where if you're not smart about how you train, mm-hmm. you will sustain injuries. And then, like you said, you'll be out for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's my, oh, yeah. honestly, my biggest fear is for me to have some type of injury that is going to keep me out of the gym. Because at my age, if I'm out of the gym for any length of time, the hope or the desire to get back and regain that fitness is going to become, that window becomes smaller and smaller. Right. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I do a lot of recovery. You know, with that being said, I do a lot of salt baths for recovery. And I also listen to my body. You know, there are some days where I wake up and I'll, you know, I can sense it. I can mm-hmm. sense that my body is not in it today.
Yeah.
And when it's not in it, I don't need to go to the gym. I don't need to run the 4 miles. I don't need to, you know, do the 15-mile hike, you know. I'll give myself that weekend off, you know, because with the added work and then along with the exercising, I do give myself that time off and that break because you need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And people that are listening to this podcast mm-hmm. that maybe don't have the background in fitness think, oh, then just take some time off. Like taking time mm-hmm. off is just the smart thing, it's, mm-hmm. which it is. Or it's the,
it is.
You know, or yeah, exactly. You know, so just do it. But what they're not factoring into that thought process is the type of people like yourselves that take on a 52 hike challenge,
right.
that take on fitness challenges, that will watch their diet. It's an obsessive nature. And so to listen to your body is much harder than people think that it is. And then when you're listening to it, to actually give into it and say, no, I'm taking tomorrow off. I'm taking yeah. it. Because we all think, oh, if I miss a day in the gym, if I miss a day yeah. of running, if I miss a weekend of hiking, you know, all that work to get here is going to mm-hmm. be gone. Yeah.
That fear of missing out, yeah, that FOMO.
That in our mind we're thinking, oh my God, it's going to all go away in a hurry.
And
it doesn't do that.
But. No, it does not. It does not. And I was there, you know, going back to my fitness competitions, I could not take a week off. I could not take time off for myself. You know, it was very strict diet, very strict routine. And, you know, more power to that sport. I personally would not go back to it. It actually messed up my metabolism at the time. So being off of it for about a year or two is when I realized, like, wow, my metabolism is just shot. You know, I put so much stress on my body.
Right.
And it took a long time for me to get my metabolism to where it's at now.
Right. So. Yeah, there are a lot of activities that I have seen over the years that while it changes a person, changes a person's physique, changes mm-hmm. a person's, you know, ability to do certain things, it's not really in the true sense fitness.
Right.
Fitness to me is not just the cardiovascular improvement that we feel. It's not just the muscle gain. It's not just those things. It's the overall combination
yes.
of fitness, that balance in what it is that you do. I like to use David Goggins as an example
yes.
when I uh-huh. talk about yes. these things, because he is about the most unbalanced person to point finger at and say, I want to do that.
Right.
And he even says, I'm not telling you to do what I do. I'm just saying to change your mindset.
Right.
Like mine, exactly. To get out there.
Mindset. You yeah. nailed it right yeah. there.
Just do the best that you can do. Push yourself as far as you can push. And then mm-hmm. when you push yourself as far as you push, maybe push yourself a little bit further. But don't go out and try to run
right.
a 100-mile race with no training like he's done. Yeah. You know, it's
and that's what I tell people too. You know, they're like, how do you get up and, you know, do all of this? I'm like, take your time. Don't go and start off with, you know, with the 5 miles, you know, start off small, 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, gradual increase. Mm-hmm. But there, I find a lot of people, and it always happens every beginning January of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, new me, new goal, you know, and they start super hard. And that's not how you want to start. You want to start slow and do 10, 15 minutes a day and then gradually increase it. But everybody always wants to go hard at the beginning and they burn themselves out.
There's a reason why January is the biggest month for gyms and fitness centers. Right? But it's absolutely the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the very beginning of every year and all the New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And as I said, I've been, you know, working out in gyms and, you know, and all the other things that I've done over the years, but for over 50 years, and it was like that then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like that now, and it's going to continue to always be that way.
Right.
You know?
Especially now with the COVID and everything, I feel that by doing some kind of physical activity, mm-hmm. That would make you, you know, get out there and do something for yourself.
Actually, my feeling on the COVID situation is I think is a reverse effect than that. I think people really got accustomed to being at home.
At home, right?
Yeah.
You're right.
I was listening to Joe Rogan and Jocko going over this kind of same thought process. And, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, how worse could it be than to tell everybody they have to stay home, don't leave your house, and here's some social media to listen to, mm-hmm. in the process.
Yeah.
That was just a recipe for just disaster.
And that's exactly what happened to me when I got COVID, you know. My department actually put me up in a hotel, and I was sitting in the hotel for about a week, and I did just that. I was in depression for about a week. You know, I was isolated. I was by myself. And I was thinking to myself, wow, how did I get here? How did I get to this point of being so scared of this virus? You know, and I could not sleep. I just could not sleep. I even wrote a note for the hotel staff. And I put a note and said, hey, if you find me, you know, deceased, I have COVID, you know, so just prepare yourself. But that was my mindset then, you know, and it puts you in that situation where you're just, you know, you're just so isolated and you take whatever you hear in the news.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we were hearing in the news wasn't completely truthful, wasn't completely open, honest. It was full of more worry and more stress and more, you know, so we all came out.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you wonder why today they're saying that there are more people that are stress ridden than ever before.
Oh yeah.
And for no reason. It was inflicted by the media.
Right.
It was inflicted by people buying into the media and then you know, putting their opinions and views and thoughts out there on Instagram for everybody to read. So pretty soon you start thinking the whole world's crazy.
It's sad. I mean, it's so discouraging, disappointing, because you know, all you would hear is stay indoors, lock yourself up. I mean,
yeah.
Vitamin D, sunlight, outside. It's one of the best ways to get that vitamin D, to be outdoors.
Absolutely.
And to not encourage people to exercise, which is one of the most healing aspects you could do for yourself. That was very disappointing during that time.
Oh,
and that's what made me even more so want to get outdoors. When we started doing this 52 high challenge, because I thought to myself, there's no way that freedom of mind, that liberation is going to be taken away, because I know what the outdoors can do for me physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so hard being isolated away from.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to say isolated away from people, because you still had the opportunity. You can go to the grocery store, you can get in your car and you can drive and you can see people. And depending upon where you were, if you went into Orange County, everybody was still, you know, out socializing and having a good time.
Well, I'm actually, I'm actually an introvert. So I was like, okay.
For you, it was okay.
This was fine for me. But, you know, once I was sitting at, in the hotel, and I thought to myself, it's like, what am I doing? Why do I feel like this? This is not me. This is not me. I immediately snapped out of it. And I decided, you know what? I'm checking myself out of this hotel a day early. I checked myself out and went back home. And the minute I went back home, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for a walk and just kind of be outside and not be so secluded. The minute I started walking is a minute outside is the minute I started feeling a lot more better about myself. And I started planning, like, okay, I need to do something. This is not who I am. You know, I'm always physically fit. I'm always running. And I decided from that day forward to get back into the gym. And so since June, July of 2020 is when I went back to the gym, you know, with full force, and haven't taken a week off from the gym since then.
Yeah. And it's what we're talking about in Jack's hit, you know, and that's mindset.
Mindset.
It's a mindset.
It is all mindset.
Yeah. When you look at life, again, one of Mike's, you know, philosophy, Mike-isms, you know, when you look at life is nothing but choices.
Yes.
Every single day. We make choices that we don't even think about choices anymore.
Right.
I mean, just getting out of bed is your first choice.
Yes.
You wake up, I'm going to, you know, kick covers off and I'm getting up. Regardless of what time, that's a choice.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to pour my coffee. I'm a choice. Choice, choice, choice all day long. But then when it comes to difficult choices, people want to build a block wall.
Right.
They don't want to face it. They don't want to realize that whatever it is that they want in their life is attainable, it's doable, it's right there for them.
Mm-hmm.
But to make the choice to take that step means they got to get on the elliptical.
Yeah.
It means they got to get on the treadmill. It means they have to go pick up those 20-pound dumbbells. They have to put the running shoes on and take one step. And for some reason, that freezes people up. That
You're right.
That right there. It just freezes them. They just don't want to do it. Now I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Exactly.
I'm guilty of that 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, before we started the hiking, I was overcoming a back injury from a car accident. And when I finally was in a better state to start being active, I actually started walking.
Mm-hmm.
So on the calendar, I would mark for the week, I would start with 1 mile. Those first 2 weeks, you know, maybe the month, and then the next month it was 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, and I kept increasing every month. And I'm telling you, just walking outside, but I could never get myself to go to the gym. It was so hard. That whole, even, you know, CSI Barbie has so many times said to me, just get some weights, some light weights, and start doing them at home. You don't have to go to the gym, you know, but it's just... It's so hard. I don't know why.
one of the reasons why that I find most people are reluctant to make a decision, you know, on anything. But, you know, let's take fitness because that's the topic we're on. And one of the reasons that is that they don't know what to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you see so many people get the gym membership.
Mm-hmm.
You see them walking around. You'll be working out. I'm a voyeur. I watch people. I see what's going on. You know, got my headset on so that, you know, I'm listening to my music or a podcast. And sometimes my battery's dead, but I leave them in because it keeps people away.
Right.
So I'm doing my, and I'm watching, the new person coming in, and they're being shown the gym, and they're going to go sign themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may see them a day or two later, and they're wandering.
Yeah, I have seen that.
They don't know where to go to. It's like, you go to the gym now. You go to the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I go to the gym. And I know exactly. I don't even write things down anymore. It's just implanted in my head. I know what to do. I know what machine I'm going to first. I know which one second. I know which third. I know how many sets, how many reps, how much weight. All that's in my head already. And it's just boom, boom, boom. Then you see these poor people that show up.
Yeah.
And they don't know. which machine to use first.
It's very intimidating.
Yeah. It is. And it's very intimidating for being a female in the gym.
Yes.
Because, you know, the majority of the, you know, my friends, they're always asking, hey, what do I need to work out? You know, it's very, very, very intimidating as a female. I go in there now and, you know, I don't want to say meatheads, but I do see that.
You said it. Meatheads.
Yeah. I do see the meatheads and I see the grunting, and that's intimidating for a female to go, especially if they're in front of, you know, the free weights and you want to grab those 10 pounds, you want to grab the 5 pounds, but here you have this big muscular guy and, you know, blocking it, and you're just so intimidated. You just don't want to go and do it. But I'm telling you girls out right now, go out there.
Push yourself. Man. Yes.
You know, sometimes, you know.
Elbow those meatheads out of the way.
I'll go in.
Yes. I love that. Elbow them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go in there. I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab my 5 pound weights. I'm going to grab my 10 pound weights. You know, it's like, I'm going to move you out of the way and I'm going to get my weights. And that's, you know, I just want to let, you know, all the females out there know, like, they're.
Well, I'm going to tell all the females this too. These fucking meatheads. You think,
I didn't know we can cuss here because that's like my favorite word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is open. You can say
your favorite word.
You say anything you fucking want. It doesn't matter. No, but the thing is that these guys are the most insecure people.
That's what it is. Yes.
You know, I will go. I love playing with them when they don't know I'm playing with them. And I always tell my wife, I tell Jill, I say, you know, yeah, I have this guy that I'm competing with at the gym. Oh, who is it? What's his name? I don't know. I've never talked to him. You know,
but is it Matt?
No, not my son, Matt.
I had a feeling that's who you're talking about. Yeah,
no, but I see guys there that are half my age, and so I'll toy with them. And they are so easy because, I've been doing this for so long, so my weights are a lot heavier than maybe theirs are at any given time.
Wow.
And so I will say, if I'm doing incline presses with some 80-pound dumbbells, for an example, and I'll look over and they're doing 50s.
Wow.
So it's like, okay.
That's impressive.
No, but the fun part is I can always push them without even talking to them. But then I'll look over and then they got 60s or 70s. and their form is way off and they're not doing it right, you know. No, men at the gym are so insecure.
And
I find some of the women that go to the gym have more self-esteem and think more highly of themselves. And the ones that are at the gym and actually pushing and getting the weights and doing stuff and minding their own business and getting it done, they're not grunting, they're not making noise, they're just in there, they're just doing a clean workout, not talking to anybody and getting in, getting out.
She's in there on a mission to get it done. She's not there to, oh, are there cute guys here?
No, that's not my type. No.
So guys, if you're listening, 99% of the women that go to the gym are not going to the gym to look for a guy to get picked on by. Okay? They're there for the gym.
Thank you for saying that, because it's one of the things that I try to impress on people is leave them alone.
Yes.
It took enough to just get there and walk through the door. Yes. They don't need you, some, you know, 20-something-year-old horny kid, you know, trying to pick up on somebody at the gym. People are there for a reason. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Say hello. That's fine. You know?
It happens hiking, too. Yeah.
Oh, yes. 100%.
I'm sorry. I can only apologize for so many. I can't take on the
Neanderthals.
If you would only see how many DMs both Cian, myself and CSI Barbie have, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I know. It was, if it hadn't been for my son and a mutual acquaintance, I would never have probably reached out just for that one particular reason, because I know it's probably ridiculous how many guys are just, you know.
Matt. I said, Matt, your dad slipped into my DMs.
That
That is hilarious. So that was like the joke, you know. Yeah. So he was telling me, he's like, "Oh yeah," it's like, "Yeah, he wants me to be on his podcast." So here I am.
That's it. Yeah, it came to fruition. Yeah. No, I really have this empathy for. And I'm going to say this because we, mm-hmm. you know, fair is fair. We get to talk about both sides. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about the men and being meatheads. And mm-hmm. I brought in, you know, horny little 20-year-olds, and, you know. But also, too, then you get the women that go to the gym that are dressed to the nines.
Oh, yeah.
And got the makeup and got the hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't plan on getting sweaty.
Mm-hmm. On their phone, on Instagram, taking mm-hmm. pictures, that's videos.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about phones. Yeah. I don't care who
CSI Barbie. Yeah, I
don't care who the hell you are. I see guys and I'm sitting waiting for a bench. I'm waiting for a machine. I'm waiting for some weights. I'm waiting for something. And they're doing one set every 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
And in between the sets, they're on their phone.
Yeah,
and then they have this attitude of, it's what's wrong? It's my, you know, my bench.
I mean, disconnect.
It's like, yeah, I'll take it for opportunity to get away
yes.
from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always go to the gym. I'm lucky enough to where my gym, I have a gym at work. I also have a gym at my complex that I live at. And I also have a membership for, I don't want to say what membership, you know, what fitness. But there are three different options for me.
Yeah.
And typically, I either will go to the gym at work because I know there's not going to be anybody there. So I have that whole little space to myself. Or I'll go to the one in my complex, which at the beginning of the year was full.
In January?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Full. Exactly. Oh. Beginning of the year is full. Now we're here in December. Mm-hmm. Nobody there. And that to me is just priceless. I walk in and it's like I know what I need to do. I have a routine. I do my routine and I'm in there within, you know, in and out within an hour. Yeah.
And you don't need this. This is another,
exactly.
You don't need 10,000 machines and weights and to choose from to get a good workout.
Right. You can even do body movements. There's a lot of body movements you can do.
There's a lot of hard body movements.
Yes.
That you could do. I remember years ago, there was a pro bodybuilder, Mike Mentzner, and I remember reading an article that he said that you can give him a set of 30-pound dumbbells, mm-hmm. and he can get a full body workout.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it.
Just mm-hmm. that one alone.
And I tell Jax all the time, I said, all you need are 5-pound, 10-pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
You can do a whole workout at home.
Yeah, or you can just do, I mean, try jumping rope.
No, you're right. You're absolutely jump rope, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I last all of about a half a minute. I know Jill's always on me.
It's one of the best exercises for your heart. Do you remember jump rope for heart?
Yeah.
When we were young, like it was one of the biggest, you know, things.
Oh,
like,
you talk about getting your heart rate up.
Yeah. It's really good for you.
That's uh-huh. really quick. That's,
and all you need is like 15, 20 minutes and you're good to go.
15,
that's
20 minutes.
It depends on how fast you go.
How many breaks do I get?
Mike is like, 2 minutes.
exactly. Yeah. Cardio's never been high. Well, I shouldn't say that. It has been. I've been a runner. I've actually used to love, because I couldn't run anymore, chose really not to run anymore, mm-hmm. but I would go on long, 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 fast-paced walks, and I would do like 10, 12, 13-mile mm-hmm. long walks. And I really enjoyed that, just that it took so long, but I'm not really a cardio guy.
And Jill
is on me.
I think it's a woman
constantly.
Thing. Do you think it's a woman thing? Because I think...
I know some males that like cardio.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to the gym or a class. I mean, dancing. Yeah. Dancing alone is cardio that,
call
Goggins, you know?
A girl. No, I think that it... I think there's a fair mix. It's like when Jill does races, mm-hmm. I go, and there's a fair mix between the, you know, the men and the women. I think that you mostly see women now on the streets running.
Oh, yeah.
Than you do men. But mm-hmm. I think that that's more of a time restraint or something.
Could be.
I think that, you know, women have more daytime, you know, because you got a lot of moms at home.
Right.
You got a lot of stay at homes, you know, moms and dads working or whatever. And I think there's a little bit more time for them to hit the road.
Right.
Than you see for men. But when you go to races, somehow, you know, it seems like it's fairly even.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, just my
your little just, observation.
Yeah. I haven't done real research on it. But now going back to the hiking again, because I tell you it's so interesting, and it's probably because it's something that I personally wouldn't take the time that it would take to get to the level that you guys are. And my personality is all or nothing. So if I can't go up to Baldy, I'll go surfing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just my mentality,
right?
You know, now, because I know how much work and how much effort it takes to get to that point.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of planning that goes along with it. And, you know, by the time, and then the waking up, you know, as avid hikers and most avid hikers, they typically wake up at about 1 or 2 in the morning to get this hike done. Mm-hmm.
Explain that, because I saw that in one of your Instagrams. Yeah. You know, I think it was the two of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a car and it's all dark outside. Yeah. And I'm just like going.
Most of the time it's dark in the morning when we go hiking.
Yeah.
So, you know, explain how you set your timetable.
Well, we do all of the research depending on what hike we choose. Mm-hmm. It can be, so for instance, we just did San Gregonio. Congratulations, Jack, for doing San Gregonio.
Aw, thank you.
it's a 21-mile hike, so it's a long day hike. Some people camp and, you know, do it within 2 days. Well, we did it in 1 day. So with that being said, it's 21 miles. And it can take anywhere between, you know, 10 to 12 hours, but depending on your endurance level. So we decided to start early, you know, to beat the daylight saving times has begun. So now it starts getting darker. So all these things come into play. So with that, we need to wake up a little bit earlier and start our hike a little bit earlier. So we decided to do our hike at about 4:30 a.m. is when we started.
And that was because we had an hour and 20-minute drive to get there. So that meant a 2 a.m. wake-up call for us.
Yeah.
And we met at 3 a.m., 3:30, somewhere between there.
And see, that's what's discouraging for some people, you know, because you have to plan everything out the day before. Your gear needs to be planned out.
Nutrition. That's huge.
Yeah, talk about nutrition
and hydration, water. I mean, that's a big deal. That's one thing that's been a huge learning lesson, throughout this year. Before, I would overpack water, but now I've learned, you know, to take what's called Liquid IV, and there's other brands out there that are similar to the Liquid IV, and it provides like 3 times more of the hydration for you than just drinking, you know, the 35 milliliters, for example, of water. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with every hike now, the big hikes, anything that's above 12 miles or more, I always have a 35 milliliter bottle of water, and I put my Liquid IV inside. And that's what I start with. And that helps kick in that hydration for me and help maintain the hydration throughout the first miles of the hike when you're inclining, which, you know, a lot of times you have the elevation gain or altitude, so you're fighting that. So having the hydration is so key, so important, and I make certain of that. You know, some people that are not experienced and don't understand that, they don't plan that. They don't prepare in advance, and it makes a huge difference, and it helps you physically. Yeah.
Hydration needs to be planned out 2 or 3 days ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, nutrition, what you eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not fueling the body, if you're not hydrating the body 2 or 3 days before you go.
Yes. Yeah.
You're doomed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I typically drink at least 1/2 gallon to 1 gallon a day. And that's just what I do.
Yeah.
So I'm used to that. And you'd be amazed how many people we've come across on the trails where
they
have bottles, just a little 12-ounce bottle of water.
We've had people who, you know, are asking us, oh, how much further? And we see them with nothing.
Right.
And we're thinking, what are they thinking? You know, they're obviously, you know, not prepared. They're not experienced. They don't know. And so many times I want to say, you know, you should turn around.
Right.
Because I, you know, I'm concerned because I think to myself, wow, you know, later we're going to hear about this on the news. Someone's getting, you know,
airlifted
from a helicopter or something. Right. It's very concerning.
Well, and that is one of the reasons I enjoy talking about this with you. And that's why I've asked about your fitness and I asked about hydration, nutrition and all, because hopefully people that are out there thinking, geez, I want to go do that. I don't want to scare them away.
Yeah, I don't want to scare them away.
No, not at all.
But let's
be right. Know, be smart about it. Be right. Smart about it.
If you're going to go up to Chino Hills or if you're going to go to, you know, Laguna, or you're going to walk some trails in there and you're going to be gone for an hour, okay.
But you they do see a lot of the posts.
Right.
Yes. They do see, you know, they just see the picture, you know, because you my post, you know, you see this beautiful background picture and they're like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't see what it took me to get to that point. And it's a lot of training. It's not like I just got up and said, hey, I'm going to go do Iron Mountain. Hey, I'm going to do Cactus of Clouds, because Cactus of Clouds is one of the most extraneous hike that I've done yet. Mm-hmm. And even going through that trail, I did meet some staff members when I completed the trail, and they're like, wow, you did Cactus of Clouds. And like, you know, we had so many casualties, you know, because people go up there with no preparation, they correct. Break their legs or they die on that trail.
I mean, the elevation gain is over 10,000 feet,
right?
You know, 21 miles. So yeah, you have to be experienced and prepare for that.
The thing with most people is that they don't know how, and then they don't want to take the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are the two things that are just the most. But it would be really interesting next time that you go on a good hike. Both of you need to not just do the pretty I'm perched on top of this rock that's cantilevered and it's a 10,000 foot drop off and I made it to the top. Show something.
Yeah.
Take some video. Like, that's one thing I love about Goggins is when he's talking. He's running.
Out of breath.
He's out of breath. And he's running and he's sweaty. I was just watching something on him just the other day, and he was on one of those challenges where it's a 4x48, meaning four laps of 48 miles or some craziness. Uh-huh. And he stops and he's pulling off his shirt. And I mean, I am so, I guess, secure in my manliness, I can honestly say I went, whoa, when he pulled off his shirt. That dude's built.
Yeah.
I mean, he is shredded.
He's someone I definitely admire,
you know? He is freaking shredded.
Yeah.
But the point is, when he ripped off his shirt, he
rings it, and it shows
how much water loss that he had, you know, just during that run. That's what you guys need to do. I'm not saying take the shirt and bring it up, but definitely show the rigorous part of what it is that you guys do. You're showing the rewards at the end, which, you know, okay, yeah, they took a Jeep all the way up there, and then they're, you know.
You know what, Mike? It's funny that you bring that up because, to be honest, and this is what's so awesome about this partnership and hiking together, I nicknamed us the dynamic duo. Mm-hmm. So one thing that is consistent when we go hiking is the vibes, the energy. No matter how much pain there is or suffering, we're always smiling. Yeah. We're always in good spirits. So it's kind of hard to get that, you know, because regardless of how much we might be suffering, we're still laughing and smiling because we still find, you know, that fun in that part of suffering. And so, I mean, we do try our best to be, I mean, honest, even more so. I mean, I think we refer to it as trail shenanigans, but in reality, it's that part of, like, you know, that we're trying to show that we're not trying to be picture perfect.
Right.
And we're just trying to be, you know, no filters, as in Instagram, they refer to it as no filters.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, CSI Barbie just took video of me completing San Gorgonio. Oh, I mean, there was no filters there. That was all like real life. Emotional. In the moment, I was overwhelmed, crying. You can see that I had just been through hell, like climbing that last stretch, and I was crying. I was crying out of excitement, out of just, I mean, all of the above. So, I mean, we try our best, but...
We're just so in the moment at the time.
Exactly.
Like we forget to bring it out. And I always tell myself, you know what? I'm gonna vlog a little bit more.
And you have been.
I have been, but I get what you're saying, where you want to see like the true grit and grime. And, you know, I did show, you know, there were times where I did show like... the porta potties that are out there, because no one really sees that stuff. You know, it's the most disgusting thing.
And we mention that all the time. Like, why doesn't anybody show this part? Or when there's a bunch of rock scrambles, you're like constantly like falling over rocks. We're like, why don't people talk about this?
Well, probably because they're at that moment.
Right. Yeah. And you're struggling.
You're struggling.
I need a GoPro. I need to invest in a GoPro.
I have a great idea. We should maybe dedicate one of our upcoming hikes to Mike.
Yeah, we'll
and
do
we'll
that.
We'll be all out, like, you know, full no on. Filters, full on, see sweat dripping down.
I'll give you my GoPro for the day.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, and then you'll see the intensity that it comes with it. Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because it isn't so much that people just want to see it. I think it's really important for them to see.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
I got scolded by my Jamie. We call him Alec. I think that it's that, you know, that people need to see the work ethic, what it takes to do what you guys are doing, because honestly, when you look at it, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, it's really cool, but it took a lot of effort to get there.
Yeah,
it
took
a lot of work.
It's funny because there are women actually that will comment and be like, I don't look like that when I finish the peak. Why do you look like that? Why do you look like that? It's like, what? There's no sweat on you. There's no...
Which you do not sweat, by the way. She barely sweats.
I barely. So, yeah. You know, and there are other women that was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what outfit you're going to wear, you know, and it's funny because it's like, I put in a lot of thought and process. I know it may seem vain, but it's just what I want to go out there and feel good about myself. And that's what makes me feel good about myself.
Well, okay. Let's talk about that because you know what, the guy that goes to the gym and he walks in and he's got the ripped sleeves off his shirt and he's got the V-neck down to here. And he's like, you don't tell me for 1 second that guy didn't put a lot of thought into what
he
was wearing to the gym.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. So it's not a female thing. These guys are doing the same thing, just in a different manner.
Yeah. And I do it for myself. I don't do it for anybody else.
Oh, these guys are doing it for themselves.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're doing it for other reasons.
Yeah.
For me, it's for myself.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care. I'm not going to meet anybody on their trails. It's for myself. And I felt great. And I felt, you know, having from 1 year to the next year of how much weight I lost. And
that's what it is.
It's just feeling good for myself.
Right.
So,
and people that work out, people that push themselves, people, whether it's running, whether it's hiking, you know, cycling, I've got a soft spot in my heart for cyclists and those guys that race, that do what they do, are just phenomenal athletes. Whoever that it is, whatever they do, whether you're a triathlete, whether you're CrossFit, people that hurt, people that push themselves into that level of fitness where it hurts are the only ones that understand when we talk about being in that moment, being in that moment of pain, being in that moment of breathlessness, being in that moment, and you push through it.
Yes.
Because it's not about the moment that you're pushing through. It's that you know that in an hour when you're at the top, you're going to feel exhilarated. And yet right now at this moment, if you quit and you turned around, within the hour or two that it took you to get back, you'd be disgusted.
Yeah, and that's my thing. I don't quit. I hate the word no. I hate someone discouraging me. You know, with that being said, I did Cactus to Clouds, and, you know, it's a 21-mile hike, over 10,000 feet elevation gain. At mile 7, I contemplated to turn around, you know, because of the heat. It was, you know, Cactus to Clouds, you start off in downtown Palm Springs, and you hike all the way up into San Jacinto Peak, which is well over 10,000 feet. And at 7 miles, I wanted to give up. At that moment, because I felt in my body, I was like, I don't know if I can deal with this. I didn't realize that the heat, it was going to be this hot, and I don't do good with heat. But I remember telling myself, just keep walking, just keep going a little bit further, just keep going a little bit further, and take your time, you know? And I didn't quit, and I finished the peak, and by the time I was done, we took the tram back down, and I saw the tram and I didn't miss the tram ride, I was just ecstatic. So,
You know, a lot of times we have self-sabotaging limitations.
Yes.
And this is a great example. It's when you finally decide to take that step and push yourself to new limits that you learn and embrace, you know, how to start overcoming those limitations that you set on yourself. That's one of the biggest lessons I've had this year.
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's mindset.
Yes.
Mindset.
Yes.
In it sounds so easy, but it's really not, because the mind is geared to make sure you only do the soft stuff.
Yeah.
Your mind is geared so that it will talk you out of challenging yourself. You will, just like you say, getting up in the morning and going, you're going to get, you know, the alarm's going to go off. You're going to think, I got to get up. And your mind is going to say,
go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Go ahead. It's okay. You can do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, be late. It's okay. You know, get an extra hour of sleep. Your mind is constantly pushing you to do the easy thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Yes, I would say 80% of the time. But when you're actually physically doing something, I would disagree with you. Because when you're out there, and for an example, in hiking, running, or gym, when you are physically in that moment and you're ready to, you know, get to that finish line or get to that peak, what happens? Mind over matter.
Well, it's also, too, because you've already beaten your mind by that point.
Right.
True.
You have already.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. You have already convinced yourself, no, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm strong. I can get this. And now that strong mind, that strong mindset. That
back
will,
to mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That willingness to be the best at whatever it is that you are doing. And not say no, not quit. Is now that's driving you. That's embedded. And so that's what keeps you.
Right.
You know, finishing it all up. And that's how come you get to that point, one more step. And the thing is, the mind is trainable. You can train the mind to stop picking the easy way and allow you to take the hard way, because pretty soon your mind knows you're going to conquer it. And the mind is going to know the endorphins that are flowing at the end when you've done it, and the elation and the feeling. And so the mind's going to want that. It's going to want that reward. So, you know, strong people have strong minds, but a mind is no different than your biceps or your lats or your abs. You have to train it. And the more you train it, the more you push
it. It's like one of the biggest muscles.
The more you drive it, the stronger it gets.
Yeah.
And the stronger it gets, the better you are. And that's one of those lessons in life that's just hard to get people to see and understand. And it's even more so going back to our whole COVID conversation, when they were locked down, when we were told to stay home. But here's your phone.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, text. Go ahead, look, watch YouTube. Go ahead, listen to, you know, social media. Go ahead. And it softened the mind of so many people.
Yeah, know? My uncle used to tell me all the time growing up, you have a brain, use it. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to always he would always put me in my place and tell me that, you know, and I've that stuck with me all my life.
You've said that so many times to me.
Just use it. But it goes beyond using it. Mm-hmm. It's train it.
Right.
Train it. Take it and push it beyond what you're capable of. Everybody thinks that they push themselves hard. Most people don't push themselves near as hard as what they're capable of withstanding. And so they're always leaving something on the table.
Because they're so comfortable with that limit.
Yeah. Well, it's because their mind's telling you that's your limit.
Right.
Oh, it's like, oh, Mike, you did really good.
It's a safe place.
Yeah.
You did really, really good. You just stop right there. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do this. You know, and it's like, you know, fortunately for me, I don't know, unfortunately, in some cases. But, you know, but fortunately, I very seldom listen to it, and I always push the boundaries of things that, you know, that I should do or not do.
Yeah.
Some of them just plain silliness, and I probably shouldn't. But, so what's your next adventure? Where are you headed?
Well, we're actually going to revisit Rattlesnake Peak and Iron Mountain because those were two major mountains that we climbed earlier this year at a different endurance level, and now we want to revisit that towards the end of this year with our new endurance level, because we've hiked so many different mountains and inclines. So we want to go back and revisit and see if we can redeem ourselves, because when we started back earlier this year, it was such a hard hike for us.
Do you think that also too is really a hard hike because you expected it to be hard? Because you were
These two are hard.
Well, they're like, hard, but
there's some of that. But these two are, I mean, Iron Mountain, Rattlesnake are the two hardest day hikes in the San Gabriel Mountains.
I understand
that. And it's due to not just elevation gain. It's elevation gain and loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Big Iron Mountain, for example, there's a point along the trail that you lose after gaining, you know, 1,500 feet, you lose 1,500 feet. So it's like you have to gain that back up. And that's what makes it very difficult, as well as the actual terrain and the trail itself, both with Rattlesnake and Iron Mountain. At Rattlesnake is actually worse. You're like, you're hiking through like, shrubbery, like you're getting bushwhacked, as they call it, bushwhacking, you know, 50% of the time. And then you have both mountains that are fully exposed. That's another aspect that you have to take into, you know, consideration, is like, what time of year are you hiking it? What's the weather like? And that makes a difference at what time you're going to start, because if it's going to be 80 degrees outside, you want to make sure you're starting at 3 a.m.
That's true.
You know,
but here's something I want to challenge you with, and that's stop telling yourself it's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stop
telling
yourself that it's hard, because it may be, may not be, but a lot of times when you condition the mind to be thinking that you're doing something that's already going to be difficult, you're going into it.
It's a walk in the park.
That's true. Yes, it's a walk on the mountain.
here's the thing that you do have to think about. I did it once.
That's true.
Doing anything the second time around
is a piece of cake.
So much easier.
Right.
So much easier. You know, you're still going to be putting out the effort. You're still going to be feeling the pain. You're still going to be breathing hard. You're still going to have the ups, and you're going to have the downs. You're going to have all those things. But you already know you're strong enough to survive it.
Yeah.
Now you're just looking at it and saying, okay, I'm strong enough to survive this, and I'm going to do really good. My goal is now to do this.
Right.
My goal is to do this in less than the amount of time. My goal is to do this quicker. My goal is to do this without as much pain. You can have all kinds of fun
in the
doing
snow.
Something that you already
in the snow. Yes,
snow. That's our next. That's our next challenge.
How about this? This thing here is there. We go. What about this? So do you have any other places that you want to go? Anything out of state? Anything out of the country? Anything?
Mount Whitney. I mean, the Eastern Sierras. Well, CSI Barbie did conquer one in the Eastern Sierras this year, but absolutely, I think we both are at that level now where we can, you know, target and have goals towards conquering some 14ers. I mean, not just Mount Whitney. I mean, that's obviously the major one, but there's a bunch of other 14ers that, you know, yeah. I know that we can do. And what's awesome is that some of the avid hikers that we've been inspired by and following throughout the entire year, whom we haven't even met some of them yet, but we will very soon. It's so awesome to, you know, to have them encouraging us and supporting us, and now seeing at the level that we're at and having watched our journey throughout this year, to have them now say, hey, next year you're ready. I mean, it's so amazing. So Eastern Sierras, 100%. I mean, we're going to do Mount Whitney, right, CSI Barbie?
Yeah, that's like next
Mount Whitney is happening.
Yeah. So, 2022, Mount Whitney. That's our goal.
2022.
Yeah.
Then you're going to come back here and we're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it.
That would be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, how's work?
Work is work.
Interesting job.
Very interesting.
Kind of explain to people what is CSI, because most people now, their vision is television version.
It's funny you say that, because a lot of people are like, oh, what does CSI mean? And I was like, really? Yeah. You don't know what that means? Yeah. That name, it stuck with me for a long time now. I chose that name back in 2012, 2013, when Instagram was in its infant stages. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just a funny name that I made up for myself. But in hindsight, looking back at it, it's just a funny name. Crime scene investigator. I've worked with this agency for about 15 years now, and I started as a police services officer. And what that means is I do cold reports. So I take any report calls, whether it be petty thefts, burglaries, commercial burgs. And on top of that, I'm also trained with crime scene investigation. So I am an advanced crime scene investigator. I've processed, I can't tell you how many crime scenes I've done, because we're such a small agency. I've done anything from suicides to homicides to date rapes to stabbings, you know, everything along the books that you see on television, but not like television.
Not like, there's a big discrepancy there.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So it's a very tough job. Not everybody can do it. And there are people that, well, I've encountered a lot of people who are like, oh, I want to do that, you know, because they see the TV show and they think it's glamorous, and it's the total opposite. You're having to walk into, you know, scenes where there's feces all over the floor. There's, you know, roaches on the floor. And it's like, they don't show that on TV. You see like this, you know, this very beautiful woman in like some nice attire and some heels. And that's not what we wear at all.
No.
So, yeah. But now, aside from that, I do work in our criminal investigations unit as a fraud investigator, but I do also work major crimes. So I'm in the major crimes division. So anytime we have like a homicide or something like that, then they'll have me assist on that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You liking that? Do you like that challenge of the criminal side more?
Than, oh, yeah. Yeah. There's so, so crime scene investigation is so much more different than what I do now. With crime scene, you're just collecting evidence, you know, and you're just packaging it away for the detective. And then that's where I'm at now as an investigator, civilian investigator. I get these cases. Well, they'll come in as reports, and I'll take a look at these reports and try to build a case on it. So primarily I focus on fraud. And fraud is huge right now with all the EDD fraud that's going out and all the ATM skimmers that are out there. I don't want to talk too much into it, but a majority of it has to do with the new EDD, you know, the free pay that everyone's getting right now.
Right.
So, but I do take that seriously, and I do have a lot of cases, and it's very time consuming. I work a lot of hours, you know, 40 hours plus. A lot of people think that I don't work a lot because they see all my hiking pictures. So they're like, do you work? I'm like, I do work. I work at least 40 hours and plus.
Yeah. Are you working the same? Because most law enforcement, you're either working 410s or three 12s with, you know, with payback.
Yeah, I do work 4:10s, so I do, my schedule typically is about, is Tuesday through Friday, and I start my shift about 6 a.m. I'll say that I get off at 4, but that's not typically what happens because crime happens all the time. We can have, some major incident that happens where they're, hey, all man on deck. We need everybody to help out on this. So I don't like to give people, hey, I get off at 4, because that's not.
No, it's not. It doesn't happen. Crime happens at 2 o'clock. Yeah. You get called out for it. Well, 4 o'clock, I'm going to go home now.
And that's another thing. Yeah, that's another thing where, people, they think of CSI. They think, oh, you have like these nice cushy hours, and you don't.
No.
I'll get called in at 2 a.m. and there's like no time for me to even think about it. I just need to get up, get dressed, and go out there and do what I need to do. And usually I'll call my sergeant or whatever and kind of get assess the situation to see what I need to do. And it's all very nerve-wracking, because you only get one shot at this scene and you're having to think about all these things that you're going to do prior to getting there. Then you get there and, I'll just talk a little bit about this. Let's just say it's a stabbing. Now you got to put your mindset. You're like, okay, now I have to go to this stabbing. Now I have to, think about, okay, what am I going to look at right now? And it's not pretty, and you have to go in there and prepare yourself of what you're getting into. And it's just all anxiety before doing that.
That's one of the areas of law enforcement that most people don't take into consideration.
Right.
When they think about police officers or, detectives or inspectors or whoever, what they see.
Right.
What they see is not normal. No. Most people don't see the things that law enforcement, and I'm going to even throw, fire.
Yeah.
Paramedics in on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous.
We see all the bad in the world that nobody sees.
Yeah. That's, when I was in law enforcement, and one of the reasons that I was frustrated with it is because it was the same thing.
Right.
It just never changed.
Right.
The people changed.
Mm-hmm.
But the situations stayed the same.
Well, now it's even more.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've been doing it for 15 years now. I just got my little email stating, hey, it's your 15 year. I was like, where the hell did these fucking 15 years have gone by?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Can I do this another 5-10 years? I don't know. You know, that's something that I've been debating on doing. I like what I do, but I don't know if I can do this, for the rest of my career.
Working career.
It
takes a toll.
It does.
It definitely takes a toll. And this is where I'm going to step out and say my two cents again, is I think that, society is really hard on law enforcement, mm-hmm. obviously, and especially within the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But cities aren't doing law enforcement any favors. There needs to be more testing,
mm-hmm.
more psychological testing,
mm-hmm.
just to stay on top of the employees that they have and what their expectations on these employees are, mm-hmm. to make sure that they are handling it.
Right.
Okay. And then if they're not, give them a sounding board,
mm-hmm.
to discuss it, to talk about it, to help work through it. But the way that it is right now, it's the cities are walking through this maze and just blinders on, mm-hmm. and earmuffs on, we don't hear anything, we don't see anything, and everything's all just status quo and good. And it's really not. And I think that one of the things that's coming out of all of this uproar on law enforcement is that there are so many little things that are falling through the cracks that need to be attended
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And I think that there needs to be better training. You know, you go to the police academy and, you know, 8 months later you come out and you go through a year of on-the-job training and here's the keys to the car and, you know.
There you go.
dispatch will tell you where to go.
Right, yeah.
And that becomes it. And then, yeah, they do a little bit, you know, well, we're going to do some, you know, shooting. We're going to do some, you know, sobriety testing. We're going to do whatever it is that they do. But they're 1 day, 4 hour deals. And then
that's it. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, their training sucks. You know, and it's not the fault of the departments. Mm-hmm. The chief wants more training.
Right.
You know,
it's money.
The captains want more training. The officers want more training.
Right.
But the city won't release it for the budget
to
go do it. And so what are they talking about? Oh, let's defund now?
Yeah.
Well, that's
ridiculous.
That's fallen to these cities that defunded are already refunding.
Right.
You know, they're going, we may have, you know, jumped the gun there on that one.
Yeah.
Dumbasses.
Yeah. They're reversing everything. They're making even worse with that.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell are they thinking?
Yeah.
You know, defunding is going to help.
Right.
But it's tough with what you do because you do see the worst of the worst.
And that's primarily the reason why I do hike too. It's just a lot of self-reflection and just being, you know, I do a lot of solo hikes as well because I need my time to myself. I deal with a lot of people constantly where I just need my day to myself.
Yeah.
And with my day to myself, it comes a lot of self-reflection. You know, what could have I done better? Or what could have I done? Or, you know, I kind of plan out my week for the following week of, you know, what cases I have. Because it's a lot of work. And none of my friends, I don't really discuss work with any of my friends because it's hard to explain the amount of work that I do. And, you know, like you see on TV, it's so much so easy. It's so easy. I do not watch any of those shows.
No. I stopped watching law enforcement shows a long time ago. Yeah. But you're absolutely, you know, right. It's hard to explain what you do because what you do is so detailed.
Mm-hmm. Time consuming.
Yeah. And so how do you sit and explain to somebody without going into detail?
Right.
What you do, because what you do is so detailed. You can highlight it, but that's as best as it's going to be. And they're going to walk away and go, oh, she's got the greatest job.
And I hear that all the time. It's like, how cool, you have a cool job. And it's like, you don't know how much work it takes to process a scene and how much anxiety it takes to you know, make sure you do this right. And then once you're done with this scene and once you package everything up and once you got your report going, guess what? Now that case has to go to court. And now you have the defense attorney picking apart your report, putting you on stand, and that whole anxiety level of going through that. And you don't want to break this case because of your faulty work. It's just so much.
Talk about having a position that is second guessed.
Right.
You know, you're going to be second guessed by one side. You're going to be second guessed by the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't give them enough.
Right.
And this is too much and this is irrelevant. And, you know, I mean, it's horrible.
It is. It is. And I try not to let it get to me. But, and like I said, that's why I go back to the hiking or some kind of physical activity just to make sure that, you know, that it just relieves. It's a huge stress reliever for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things I think if people would really realize how important physical activity is, how important movement is, how important their nutrition is. Now, I'm not talking about, believe me, I have had my moments through my lifting career and my cycling and all the other endeavors that I've had, you know, athletically that, you know, I have really watched my diet and my nutrition and really, but really for the most part, I've been average at best. I don't eat a lot of crap. But I have been through my periods of, you know, I mean, my biggest problem is cookies. You know,
I have some in my bag. You want some? I literally do have some cookies in my bag because, I mean, I do have, you know, a lot of people have asked that, a lot of my followers, what are you eating? You know, what do you eat? You know, and I,
everything.
Yeah. for the most part, you know, I want to say it's at least 70% clean. The last 2 days I had a freaking burrito. I'm not going to lie. I had a burrito the last 2 days.
Justify the hell out of burrito. That's easy.
Oh yeah.
That's easy. Let me see. We got meat. We got beans. Best. We got cheese. We got dairy. We got some lettuce. Oh man, this thing's good for you. That's
You can't go wrong with a burrito. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't have a gallbladder. So that's another main reason why I have to watch what I eat. Yeah. So, but I do, and dairy is not for me. But I do watch, for the most part, my main, you know, protein is fish. So I do stick with lean meats. I can't stomach chicken anymore because of the my competition. It was a lot of cold chicken, a lot of cold fish, a lot of sweet potato. You know what that? You know,
canned tuna.
I call it the bro food. That's what I used to eat. For 4 years.
But it's all. It's all easy. Fuel. It's all easy. Mm-hmm. That's why we ate so much of it.
Yeah.
You know?
You can enjoy your foods. Just don't overindulge in it. You know, if you want to make a difference in your physique, and we're talking about physique now. I don't know if you're talking about, you know, feeling good about yourself, because there's a difference whether you're going for physique or just to feel good about yourself. If you want to change your physique, you need to eat somewhat clean.
Absolutely.
So
that's
a difference that a lot of people just, you know, they don't put that, they don't look at it that way.
No, it's to eat clean is hard.
It is.
It's really, really hard, especially in today's world. Today's world makes it even more difficult.
So many foodies out there.
They have really fucked with me because they made it taste really good. I'm one of those people that I will eat for flavor.
Right.
Eating for flavor is not one of the best ways to go about your diet.
Right.
Because, you know, to have a really clean diet, sometimes you're just going to be eating stuff that you really just would rather have that burrito.
Yeah. And I used to say it back in my competitions, that the cleaner the foods, the deeper the cuts. And what that meant is the shredding, shredding of your abs. And that was my mindset back then. I mean, I'm not – my physique – I honestly like my physique now. It's not super shredded. It's not superly thin. For me, it's a healthy balance, you know. And I still watch what I eat. 70% is clean. But I do have my cheats, you know, and I do have my wine. I do have my wine. I do have my whiskey moments. It's like I don't want to go back and go back to that super lean – physique, because it just wasn't healthy for me.
No. Well, also too, you know, mentally, you have to, if all you did was focus just on your physical appearance, I will guarantee you are not going to be mentally healthy.
Oh no, I was in a different state back then.
I have a friend of mine, he's in Texas, and he is training for a show coming up in December. So now he's at his really tough period of time when he's really going to be cutting back.
Peak week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, and mentally, it just ruins you.
It does.
It just takes something out of you that you can't replace.
Well, I was hibernating for a good 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you're isolated. It's just you, the food, the gym, in your physique. Yeah. And that's all that I was focused on.
Yeah. Because you can't do anything.
You can't do anything.
You can't go and be with people be family with friends, or friends, be with family, because everybody, oh, come on.
Just eat a little bit of here.
They don't understand the goal,
right,
or how you're going to attain the goal.
Right.
So, you know, Aunt Martha is going, I made this cake special for you.
Right,
you
know? Yeah.
And you got to, so it's easy.
Here's your Tupperware. You come out and you bust out your Tupperware. You have your 4-ounce chicken. Yeah. You know, you have your 1/3 cup of rice. I'm telling you, it was I was such a robot back then.
You were.
I was. Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't help it. You can't help. If you're going to go down that path, that's what you have to be. You have to be robotic. You have to. And one of the things that I preach to everybody that will listen is balance.
Right.
Have some fucking balance in your life.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, you're going to be
miserable.
You're going to be off chart at some point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have balance. And it's surprising how many people hate the term balance. I don't know why, but it's you know, like they live in a world where if you're not extreme, you don't have extreme thought, you don't have extreme, you know, purpose, you know, then, you know, life's not worth living. So don't talk about having balance, where balance is everything. You know, you have to balance mentally between your work, your free time, relationships. I mean, it's, you know, it's all, everything needs balance.
Oh yeah.
That's very true. You know?
It's in, and when people tell me, oh, I don't believe in balance, it is like,
then you're gonna you be, do you.
Then you're going to be fucked up. I don't know what to tell you. You know? But it's like, you know, it's people don't understand it.
Yeah. I know. When I think about it, I think about, you know, doing a competition now and with work, I was like, how the fuck did I do that?
Yeah.
How the hell did I get up and do an hour cardio before work and eat the freaking chicken and rice and broccoli, the under 1700 calorie, you know, food that I had to eat, and then get off a 12-hour shift and do my 1-hour cardio and then my 1-hour weightlifting? It was just so intense. And I did that for 4 years. There's no way I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess my mindset back then was just go, go, go. And that was just, you know.
Yeah. No, I've got a friend. I got a friend of mine. I think I was talking to you about him. He's a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, he manages he's the manager for the personal training at Equinox and John Solise. And he was actually had him on here not too long ago. And this guy's tremendously fit. Tremendously fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, he throws stuff up on Instagram and he's, you know, doing handstand push-ups and he's, you know, kettlebell stuff. I mean, guy's just, you know, just amazing. Good guy too. And we were talking about nutrition. We were talking about stuff. And, you know, he eats whole foods. I mean, just whatever is good for him, that's what he eats. That's what he's trained his kids. He's an excellent dad. And he's got two little boys and him and his wife. And that's what they eat. Mm-hmm. And they don't eat a lot of junk. Mm-hmm. So when he was coming over and we were having the podcast at the house when I was still having it, you know, in the garage, I said, hey, come over for dinner. What do you guys eat? And he said, Mike, we'll eat anything. Just whatever it is. Because he had balance in his world. He eats typically just good, wholesome, nutritious food that they do. But if they go out or they go to somebody's home, they don't make a big deal about it. They will find some balance and eat what they can eat. And, you know, and the guy had no problem. I forgot what we had. I think we had lasagna and bread or something like that. And, you know, and he had, you know, he was not embarrassed, man. He ate it down. But that's what I mean. You'd be a guy like him.
Yeah.
And, you know, be a trainer. Be a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. Train people how to eat and work out and do all the things. Take care of yourself. Look like he does. Be fit like he is. And yet he's found some balance in there. You know, he's probably, like you said, that you were maybe 70% whole foods and then the rest is just kind of jumbled up. And but he's probably 90%.
Right.
But he still leaves that 10% open to play with.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm so comfortable with where I'm at right now. So, and I like that balance. And I feel great. But like I said, a lot of my followers do always ask, like, what do you eat? But I do, for the most part, cook the majority of my meals. And, you know, my proteins are usually fish or lean proteins. And my carbs are usually, you know, rice, brown rice, white rice, jasmine rice, mm-hmm. and then typical veggies. But, you know, it's all whole foods as well, you know.
And cookies in your
purse. Cookies in my diet.
Honestly, like donuts.
Yeah, donuts are my thing.
CSI Barbie loves donuts.
Loves ask donuts. Matt.
I yes. Got yes. And she Matt. Eats them guilt-free, let me tell you.
I will eat it.
Oh, that's like Matt. Matt will eat them guilt-free, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows the best donut shops.
Oh, yeah, Sidecar Donuts. We took them out there. We took them on an adventure.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did.
So good.
Yeah, ask him about Simone's. Which is just right down the street from here.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he grew up, and that was my fault. And going to Simone's, you know, just, you know, they've always had the best. It's crazy. Yeah. But that's the whole thing is just, you know, finding your own path and then, you know, forging it out and then having some balance in it.
And exactly.
Yeah. So what else is in your world?
Oh, man, what else is in my world? There's so many things that just, you know, this last year has been Jax and I bonded a lot. You know, this doing the 52 hike challenge has brought us closer together.
Yes.
How long have you guys been together? How long have you guys known one another?
So we...
Well,
How long have we been together?
Yeah. How long have you been best buds?
Besties.
Yeah.
We met in October of 2014 on Halloween, which happens to be our favorite holiday, both of ours. And
we were clowns.
We were both dressed up as clowns. Okay.
Scary.
No, but very sexy clowns, let me tell you.
I like to think of that as cute, but she's like,
she throws that version, in there. Yeah. Huh?
Oh, no, they were sexy. I just, you know, both of us are born and raised here in California. And I actually had moved to New York for about 5 years, and end of September came back. You know, that's a whole nother story. Maybe you'll invite me and we can talk about that. But I went out for Halloween here and was excited and dressed up as a clown and went to this spot in Hollywood. I saw CSI Barbie and this crew of everyone dressed up as clowns. And I thought, oh my God, I need to go over there and meet them. So of course we were, you know, backstage VIP tables, and I made my way over there dancing because you know, love dancing. And I saw CSI Barbie. She was dancing on a booth in this clown outfit, and I was just enamored by her. And I thought, I love her energy. I have to meet her. And so we just started talking, and that's how we met. And we, since that day, like, I mean, we've discovered so many things about ourselves, our lives, that we, you know, share a lot of in common with. And, you know, I don't know how much in detail you want to get about some of that, but since, 2014, what's that,
Eight years.
8 years already. Wow. And this year, you're right. I mean, this is the year hiking brought us together. You know, we've been very good friends, very close, but at the level now, it's just, you know, I almost feel like we're sisters.
It brought us closer together and probably pissed off a couple of our friends that
I would agree with that.
It's like, she's spending so much more time with Jax, you know, it's like, you know, and I have other friends too. And
same with me.
Yeah, same with her. It's like, you know, we just grew into learning a lot about each other. You know, we have similar stories, whereas she, you know, she lost her boyfriend. How long ago was that?
That was March 2001.
Yeah, 2001. And I lost my boyfriend in 2011. So that was something that brought us together as where we shared our stories. I didn't know too much about her past.
It's not something that either one of us really talked a lot about, unless with, you know, a select very few. But having back then, just, you know, getting acquainted, knowing each other and stuff, it wasn't something we started like sharing and talking about right away. But, you know, as we became closer and, you know, we shared more details about that part of our life, we're like, you know, wow, like it's to a T, like how, I mean, different types of accidents, but they were both accidents, you know, I mean,
tragic experiences.
Tragic.
Yeah.
Accidents.
You know, you don't prepare for something like this, and it's something that, you know, talking to her about it, it was such a relief because I actually can confide in somebody that actually went through it, and not, you know, even my followers don't even know about this, but
neither one of ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's two things on that. One is that you didn't even share with each other right away because it's not something that how do you open up yourself to somebody that you're not really sure about at that point in time. It takes time. You got to get to know somebody before you become that vulnerable and open up something that's really that deep and that hurtful.
Well,
you know, but then when you do and you find out that the person has had the similar experience, so they have a deeper understanding of what it is, because tragedies, and I don't know anything about the tragedies, but tragedies are tragedies, and when they happen, you can never explain it to somebody.
No, you can't.
You cannot get that inner feeling, that hole. How do you explain it? How do you take it out to somebody that hasn't
been through it?
Right.
Through it.
Right.
You know? And I was telling CSI Barbie, you know, that my wife, Jill, had similar experience and lost her husband before I met her. And the same thing, tragic.
Well, there's something
situation
that we both learned is that tragic experience of losing a loved one impacted the relationships we had thereafter. And it took some time, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it impacted in a sense where, I mean, the relationships I had, two major relationships after that, it was due to that experience that I was still grieving over that time, that I never really dealt with it because I didn't know how. And that was something that we learned and shared, because the same thing happened with you. I mean, I don't know how much detail you want to get, but that's one thing that I want to say, because I know that there are people out there that can relate to that. And
it was just to fill a void at the time.
Exactly.
Sure.
So, exactly.
So, my last relationship, it was just to fill a void. Now that I'm out of it, and now that I'm, you know, single, well, for the most part, I'm single.
Sounds like another story for a different podcast.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I don't know how to word it. I guess I can say single. I haven't been single in.
You're single.
Yeah.
You are.
I haven't. Okay. I have.
There's no ring on your finger.
We're gonna go with you're single.
There is no ring on her finger. Yeah, she's single.
Well, you know, I've been in two major relationships, and the last relationship, it was to fill a void. And once I got out of the relationship, I realized, like, wow, I need this time to myself. And you know, doing the hiking has been a tremendous help, and being with Jax, doing that and discussing everything, and it just all made sense. Like, I just thought, wow, you know, I was in such a bad place the last, you know, 6-7 years that
it was just a
fake relationship. And I don't want to say fake relationship, because
there was some good from it.
But I know that I was just there for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's just, let's say this, because I know what you're saying and I know how you're feeling about it, and you don't want to make the other person that had the relationship with seems like it was a meaningless relationship.
Right.
It's the fact that you just weren't ready
for
a relationship.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You weren't healed yet. You didn't allow yourself to be healed.
Right.
And I watched that through Jill when I first met Jill. and she had had a relationship prior to me, and it was a wrong relationship. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a relationship she should have had or should have been involved in. She looks back now and just, you know, it goes, I can't believe it. But
for her, that's how I felt too. It's like, why did I do that? Yeah, why did I do that?
Yeah. And for her, it was her driving goal was because she had little kids at the time, was I just want my family back.
Right.
That was the driving force. So it didn't. She didn't really look at the person that she was trying to have the relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted the family back. Right. So here was the vehicle, possibly
to fill the void.
To fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, it dissolved. It fell apart on its own just because it wasn't, you know, wasn't good. And then when we met, one of the first things that I was telling her was, you need to heal.
Right.
You need to
100%.
You need to work on this.
Yes.
You know, and I said, don't ever let anybody tell you you need to get over it. That was part of the problem with this other person. Who's you just need to get over it. I said, you're never going to get over it.
No, it's not.
Never. You'll never ever recover from that loss. You can, you will never understand it.
Right.
You will learn to move through life.
Mm-hmm.
You will learn to love again. You will learn to learn again, give again, do all those things that is human and is going to be, but you'll never forget.
Right. Yeah. And I'm doing that now. I mean, I've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
And, you know, I've learned to love again. I've learned to be interested in people again, and I've learned to not, you know, not feel guilty about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was another reason why I was like holding back a lot was the guilt.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a huge milestone when you recognize that.
Right.
When you recognize I had guilt, you recognize that I'm feeling guilt, because that will allow you to shed the guilt and be human again.
Right.
You know, it's when you have conversations like this, it's really difficult because you don't want to simplify anything because there's nothing simplistic about this. You know, the feelings, the thoughts, the just everything, you know, the grief, just. The loss itself is it is all so complicated. Everybody deals with it differently, but I really believe that there are common healing factors that everybody shares.
Yeah, and like you said, everyone deals with it differently. And, you know, there are people that I've, you know, dated. It's like, you know, you need to get through this, or you know, they kind of gave me like a deadline.
Yeah.
And that to me was just like,
run.
I don't think they understand.
That's exactly why I avoided dating thereafter.
Yeah.
I gave myself that time. I mean, I'm still giving myself time away from men.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, you know, we live in such a strange society today to where everybody feels this drive and this importance and this timetable to do whatever it is we have to do. Everybody has their own time to do things.
Right.
Everybody has their own time. Everybody's got their own time to get married. Everybody's got their own time to do whatever. But we live in this age of technology where everything has to be immediate.
Right.
And I think it's really, really bad on the human psyche over a period of time when we are dealing with being human beings and we wonder why there's so much stress and worry and concern going on in the world today is because we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to be a human being. We wonder why there is so much anger, so much so many people arguing and fighting and disagreeing because we're not allowing each other to be human beings and have our own thought process, our own views, our own whatever. We have to be either this side or this side.
Right.
You have to be either married or you're single. You have to have, you know, I mean, there's just
like a book of life. Like you need to do this at a certain age. You need to have kids on a certain age.
So many stereotypes. So many,
it's like I learned ever since, you know, my lesson from all of this is I learned just to live life as it comes. I don't plan anything anymore. I don't set myself up for, oh my God, you know, I'm 42. Well, I didn't really
You said that out loud.
I know.
Hey, I'm proud of being 42. I feel great.
That's really funny
42.
You say that. Not change subject. You know what? I'm that same way. Uh-huh. I'm 68. And there was a period of time when, you know, like I was in my late 50s or something. Mm-hmm. And I've never, fortunately for me, good genes, I've never really looked my age. Uh-huh. But I would lie when I was like in my late 50s of, oh, I just turned 50 or I just did this. I don't know why. You know, I should have been proud of it. Then I finally, I don't know, epiphanized about, you know what, be 68. There are a lot of people that didn't get to be 68.
Right, yeah.
And so I'm going to be proud to be it.
Yeah, you know? Do not look 68 at all. I would have guessed like.
Yeah, but that it was that's the whole thing. So now I carry it.
With a sense of pride. Not a lot of 42-year-old. I always actually get, you know, asked by 21-year-olds or so young.
I'm right there with you.
That's like
I'm older than CSI Barbie.
Well, you know what? It's flattering.
It is
flattering. But then again, too, you realize that, you know, like, oh, my God, no.
Yeah. No, you're too young for me, bro. It's No, I mean, you know, it is flattering. And but I learned, you know, at my age, it's, you know, a lot of people, you know, especially my mom, you know, my mom's always like wondering, like, what, you know, where's your new boyfriend? Where is he at? And, you know, that pressure and that stigma of having to be married at a certain age.
A stereotype.
It's like, stereotype. It's like, why are you single? It's like, Mom, do you not know what I've been through? It's like, I have to, you know,
go through it all with mom.
But you know how moms are. So.
Yeah. One of the things I can definitely say that came out of it for Jill was that she values every single day.
Yes.
Because she saw, you know, from the front row how quickly it can be taken.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
You know, so every day she enjoys every single day.
And that is why the hiking, you know, the sun rises, the sun sets, because I know what it feels like to wake up one day and it's like your whole life is what? Like just shattered from you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't expect it. And that's something that, you know, every time I wake up and I think, you know, you need to tell people that you love them, especially your friends, family, you know, I don't hesitate to say those things because, you just never know when you're not going to see that person again.
That's right.
So
that's right. I know that. And you talk about your hiking, Jill, you know, being a runner, she would go for runs and would just run. And she would come back and tell me that half of her run she spent crying.
It's a release.
Yeah,
it really is.
I've been there.
Half of her run was, you know,
crying,
talking to Mark, you know. So yeah, it's it definitely has that healing process to the running.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I ran this morning and I did about 6.5 miles, and in those 6 miles, I was thinking about, you know, being on this podcast and what I was going to share. And, you know, it's just such a good feeling to do that. Cause it just puts you in that right mindset. Yeah. And, I do run, and that's the one reason why I run. And that's the one reason why I hike solo, is because I use that time to talk.
Yeah.
You know, we actually had a turning point this year, both CSI, Barbie and I. With respect to the topic of, you know, having lost an ex, a loved one, and, you know, going back to hiking and how it's healing in so many aspects, it did that for us this year. We actually, we finally reached that release, and it was on Big Iron Mountain.
Yeah, Iron Mountain.
Big Iron Mountain. It was our, you know, our toughest hike target for the year at that time, which I still think, I mean, even considering what we've done to date, that was probably still the most suffering and therapeutic. Okay.
We had different ones.
No, yeah. but going into the suffering led to that therapeutic aspect, mm-hmm. because when we both had, and we talked about this, was that experience of having lost, you know, and not having dealt with it and having been grieving for so long. And we, when we did this hike, it was almost in memory of them. Mm-hmm. And it was so empowering when we reached the top. We were so emotional, and a friend caught that on video. And we haven't shared that video. We kept it to ourselves, but we were so overwhelmed with not just what we had just done physically for ourselves, but also mentally and spiritually, because we knew what the hike meant for us. And it was tied to that loss and that grieving that we had experienced for so many years that had impacted our lives in so many ways and had, you know, interfered with relationships we were trying to have, and, you know, so many personal things. When we got to the top and we had that moment, believe it or not, and it's, we saw two butterflies. Mm-hmm. And butterflies are so symbolic of, you know, past life and being free spirited, and they were just like
fluttering around
us. And it was like the most amazing, beautiful feeling. And the two of us looked at each other and we both said, "That's Mario and Jerry."
Yeah.
We both said that.
Yeah. And I think that people that have lost people that can totally resonate with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quick story about Jill. When I first met Jill, she would tell me that dragonflies were Mark's thing. And always said he would come and visit her. If something mm-hmm. ever happened, he'd come and visit her as a dragonfly. And I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a dragonfly.
Right.
Without a doubt, I probably saw 100 dragonflies the first couple years Jill and I were together.
Wow.
Saw them all the time. I was sitting at a busy intersection up in downtown LA. Can't mm-hmm. remember what it was, but a huge busy intersection. And out of no place.
What an odd place.
Downtown LA, a dragonfly comes flying around the windshield and then just circled around the windshield. And then when the light turned, it took off.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you gazillion stories like
that.
Yeah, and
I believe that.
So those are signs.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the sign's coming from the person or they're coming mm-hmm. from, you know, something else spiritual, it's making you aware.
There's that connection. Yeah.
There's an awareness.
Yeah. Yes.
That comes
definitely.
With
right.
all of that.
Right.
You know, and it sounds like to me that you two are really on your journey towards the end of that journey of healthful thought processes and being able to take what I tell Jill, take everything and put it in the proper boxes.
Well, it's taken me 10 years to talk about it. So I know that, you know, I'm in a better place now.
Much better, much better.
Right.
I mean, in 10 years isn't that long when you understand what it is that you had to deal with and go through. And just know that my mom lost my dad, her husband. It's going on 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just shy of 60 when he passed. And mom since then is remarried mm-hmm. and very, very happy, healthy 91-year-old that's still active and driving. Scary. But she's still, to this day, married, happy, everything. Still this day, talks about dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't go away. It's
never going to go away.
It's never going to go away.
Don't ever, ever let anybody tell you. to get over it and let it go away, because it's never ever going
to
happen.
And I tell that to people all the time. It's like, it's not something that's going to go away. It's always going to be there.
It can't, because how, I mean, what kind of a message is that? That was saying that your boyfriend's lives weren't important enough to remember. I mean, you can't forget. And you just do yourselves one huge favor. Never be in a relationship with anybody that doesn't share your memory with you.
That's true.
You walk into my home, our home, and Alec will tell you, there are Mark's pictures still there. Aww. There are
That's awesome.
There are, because he was an avid sports fisherman, there are still pictures that he bought, I mean, big mural type pictures that are still hanging.
That's awesome.
You know, he will never be forgotten.
I think we've both been lucky where the relationships they're after, they, you know, they embrace the situation we had been in, and we're accommodating and loving and understanding. So I think both of us separately have shared that, you know, we've been lucky to have dated people that have been respectful to what we have been through.
It's a hard topic to bring up.
It is difficult. Like, I'm even, I keep, it's funny. I keep looking at CSI Barbie, like, am I okay to say this next thing? You know, like, I'm looking at her for reassurance to make sure I could keep opening my mouth and going forward and talking, because I'm uncertain, because it's something that we don't talk about openly, let alone with our close friends.
But then
publicly, in the manner that we are now, this is a very first time for both of us.
Or just going into a relationship or meeting somebody new.
Yeah.
It's such a hard topic to talk
about.
It
is.
It's like, oh, what, you know, where have you been doing these last, you know, 20 years or whatever? Why are you 42 and single? Why are you not married? And it's one of those things where I honestly don't, you know, it depends on who the person is, whether I feel comfortable or not to talk about it with. But it is a difficult thing to bring up. And I'm always going to bring it up. That's who I am.
It's nice to know that within an hour and a half, I drug it out of both of you.
I process dead bodies, and I hike peaks, and I do, wow, something's up with this girl.
From CSI to hiking peaks.
Well, with all of that said, we're going to close it down.
Oh,
we're getting towards the end. Two amazing, amazing women. Thank you so much
goodness.
For joining
us.
And being here. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you for having us, Mike.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening. Bye.